Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation. Bill Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, talking here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my own.
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well,
I'll
tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiant?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is just that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Blu Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so.
Hey, this is Booker T, WCW 5-time champion and WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to In the Room. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
All right, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're back and we're live and we're on the air. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network at VOCNation.com. This is, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation. Be sure to check us out on the website. Don't forget to search for us on YouTube, and don't forget premium.vocnation.com. And that's pretty much anything you want as far as the Patreon goes. Offers start as low as just $3 a month, and there's lots of great content on there, so be sure to check it out right there. But here we are tonight. You know, we're 2 days after WrestleMania, and I'm excited to talk with all of you guys tonight, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing so. 914-338-1885. My name is Brady Hicks. I'm joined once again by the lovely Kathy Fitz. What's going on, Kathy? How you doing tonight?
Not much. Pretty good, Brady. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Also joining us, the one and only maestro, professional wrestling, actor, entertainer, wrestler, pretty fashionable guy. Just had some dinner. What was for dinner, Stro? I saw you chomping away there. That looked delicious.
Oh, hey guys. So this is beef dips, rice, and mixed carrots and peas.
Okay. I always wondered what athletes eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, just low-carb, high-protein vegetables. I want to share some with you guys real quick. Well,
sure.
The people – I was at Charlotte Comic-Con this past weekend, and the people at Charlotte Comic-Con, the cast, the Devil's Daughter, Doug Kim and Freeman were in, and the Dust Series was nice enough to present me with this championship belt they custom-made for me.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's cool.
And I was floored. I couldn't be, you know, more honored. So I thought it was really cool. I wanted to show you guys.
Now you don't have to defend that, awesome. Do you?
Well, who knows, right?
Take it to a show, you know?
Right, yeah.
Matt Grimm knows what I'm talking about. We've seen plenty of fans at
shows.
Oh, boy. Not that you're a fan, sure. That's not what I'm... What's going on, Matt?
Hey, here we are again. It's Tuesday night. It was an eventful last 3 days, and there's a ton to talk about.
You, it's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Ray Bogus, what's going on, Ray? How are you feeling tonight? Something tells me you don't think it was quite so eventful.
No, it was very eventful. It was very eventful.
Okay.
But it was very eventful, but, like, I mean, the Krakatoa eruption was eventful, and the Great Blizzard of 1883 was eventful.
Challenger.
And
yeah.
Yes, the Challenger was eventful. Look, I don't know how you they screwed up like every match.
Okay. Well, I think the opinions are going to vary on this, but I am curious what everybody thinks, and we're certainly going to talk about that tonight. That's the top of the agenda. 914-338-1885 is the number. I see we've got a couple people already in the queue, and we'll get to you guys in short order. Just kind of hang tight, and we're going to sprinkle you guys in. Kathy, they're like garlic, you know? You don't want to use too much garlic. It'll mess up the sauce. So we're gonna sprinkle them in occasionally, I guess you'd say, theoretically.
Also.
So we're definitely
going to
talk about
what we call the dish.
Yeah.
What would we call the dish?
I would call it spaghetti and M&M's, for lack of a better name.
That's interesting.
914-338-1885. So definitely WrestleMania. We're going to talk about that tonight, and I want to get everybody's thoughts on that because I happen to enjoy the show. By and large, I did. Did they make every decision correctly? No. The thing that bothered me the most, ironically, wasn't what we saw. It's what we didn't see. It really, really, really pissed me off that there were four names that didn't make it onto WrestleMania that I thought were huge parts of WWE all year long, and they were all available. I'm talking about Charlotte, I'm talking about the Street Profits, and I'm talking about Rey Mysterio. See how I did that, Kathy? Rey Mysterio. So I was disappointed by that, so I definitely want to talk about that tonight. Alexa Bliss has a new doll, and looks like it's a lot of fun to play with. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, man.
What?
Looks like a Dennis Dream. See the chompers on that mug?
Yeah, wow. Seriously. I can't find the sound effects, so we're going to hold off on that. And
Jesus.
We should talk another thing, Ray, and this probably leads into, like, a thing that you were talking about earlier, new debt. Matt, you brought this up to me, like, how can you be so happy the next night on Raw after you got absolutely destroyed? Really not even a mention of the tag team title. I hate it when WWE devalues the belts like that, but New Day really hit a home run with that last night. It just really bugged me.
It was not good at all. And you know what? They had the same problem when Kofi lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Lesnar. Where it was just like,
yeah,
everybody, they were all just fine with it, and it's fine, and we're out the next night, and we're happy and having a good time. And, like, I don't know. To me, I see that, and I feel like it devalues the belts because these guys who held them don't care that they lost them. And that bothers me. And, like, I don't know. I wish that these guys, because they've all been around long enough to, I think, understand – you know, exactly what impression you're kind of creating with the fans when you act this way. So
right.
I don't know what the deal is, but I wish they wouldn't do this. And if they're being scripted to do this, then it needs to stop and the stable needs to change. I'm not saying they necessarily need to break up, but they need new attitudes. And I don't know. I feel like the stable's becoming a parody of itself at this point. And I used to really enjoy them, and now I'm just kind of like, please just, let's get this segment over with as quickly as possible.
Ray, it would be like if I got fired from VOC Nation on a Monday and I come out here like a clown on Tuesday. It just doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
So I'm going to kind of rain on this parade a little bit. number one, I am unhappy that New Day dropped the tag titles because I'm just – not sure that is a good long-term move. That being said, I think the mindset that Matt said and that you, I guess, are kind of behind too, given your analogy, I think that's very short-sighted, and I think that it presents a fundamental misunderstanding of what diverse characters mean. Not everyone has to be the brooding, I'm going to get my spot back character. And so, you know, it's, to me, it's okay that New Day is still the happy party time, But it's okay because they came out and won their match. They're still a serious team. They don't act in a way that makes them sort of another cookie cutter, we're going to get back our title character, because we have a lot of those. That character is a very cheap, easy character to create because it's the one we think we should default to.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the idea that the New Day comes out and they are unconcerned but are still a serious contender, to me, that's interesting.
They need an Apollo Creed like Rocky did, like second to die to Tiger back. I mean,
I was going
to
say, yeah. Wasn't that Xavier Woods' name on TNA? Oh. Sorry. Not
he was
Apollo
Consequences.
Creed. He was Consequences.
He was Consequences.
Creed. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I got to say, I disagree with that. I think human beings are never happy when they lose. And I think that's a universal thing. And I think if you're not unhappy about losing, and you can be unhappy in different ways. Maybe it makes you depressed. Maybe it makes you angry. Maybe it makes you take a hard look at the way you do things. But, I mean, look, and I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because, you know, there's a difference between a scripted match and scripted outcomes in real sports. But find me anywhere, ever, a championship game loss, like whether it's the Super Bowl or the World Series or the NBA Finals, find me anywhere an example of when they go to the losing team's locker room and they're partying it up and blowing trumpets in people's faces and having a good old time right after they lost. And you're not going to see it because that's not the way people react to things. And I think that creates a disconnect and it devalues the titles and it makes the characters seem inauthentic. You know, like I said, they don't all have to brood, but they've all got to react to losing in some way because people don't like it when they lose. And I think that's just a fundamental human condition.
No, you're right. People don't like it when they lose, but you're asking for an initial reaction 24 hours after, more than 24 hours after the match.
Even Bray Wyatt was jumping up and dancing, a minister when he lost it the night before.
I got the horn back. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was excited. What were you saying?
But Bray Wyatt, he was jumping up and down dancing. He lost at WrestleMania the night before. He was like jumping up and dancing on Raw.
I mean, here's my
partying
thing.
Partying on the Playhouse.
Yeah, here's my thing. I don't mind if they don't come out. Like, I hate it when they come out and complain that they lost. That irks me. But I feel like you could have a pass for a night where, like, you got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder because you just lost the title. Like, I need to refocus or I need to, like man, like, I don't know. Like, you got to kind of turn inward. You know what I mean? You don't need to be a curmudgeon about it. Now, that's just my opinion, obviously. Opinions are like, I'll say ice cream for lack of a more colorful way to put it. You know, everybody loves ice cream, but there's all different flavors of it, right? See, that's why I didn't go with a-holes, Kathy, you know, because everybody's got one. But it's not the same, obviously.
I would just not going down that road if I were you.
There's all different flavors, Ray. I'm just saying.
Randy's going down the ice cream rabbit hole.
There's peanut butter.
Let's not go down the... Let's avoid the copper
please. Down the chocolate letter. So anyway, so I was going to say... I was
the Hershey Highway.
Speaking of curmudgeon, I would be incredibly remiss if I didn't point out that CM Punk did an interview this weekend as well, where he talked about, I don't know if you guys saw this, I found it fascinating, absolutely fascinating. He was talking about AEW and WWE and potential opponents, and he listed like five or six names from AEW that like he thinks he could make money with if he went to AEW, and he only mentioned one name from WWE, and I thought this was hilarious. He said that he could only make money. You wait for it, Matt. Wait for it. With Triple H, the guy who he left because they were going to put him against Triple H because he wanted something better. That's the only guy in the company he thinks he can make money with?
Here's the thing, and the New Day discussion has There's other things you need to kind
we'll
of
come back
off
to.
Of that.
Yeah.
No, they need to spur off of it. But the CM Punk thing is interesting because you know what he sounds like? I mean, you're right. Like the idea that he left essentially because he was mad about, A, Triple H's management of the company, and, B, that he was going to be put against Triple H. He didn't want to go that route.
Right.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like he's kind of an idiot who made a really bad decision to go be a professional fighter when he explicitly was uncomfortable taking fake punches or scripted punches, as the case may be.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends. It depends on whether or not your opponent is actually good at script punching.
Or wants to really punch you. I mean, I've been in situations where I really got a hit. Yeah.
We saw over WrestleMania weekend, we saw both scripted punches and what were clearly fake punches. So I suppose that depends on the quality of your...
I don't put the stamp on that term, by the way. That's just me, but I don't...
Well, I'm making fun of the fact that there were people who were just clearly airmailing them.
No leg slaps, though.
I thought we had some. It sounded like we had some.
We might.
The point being.
We had a dreadlock slap. Sounded like leather.
Yeah. The point. We're gonna get to that. We're gonna
I'm
get
on
to
my
that
own.
Garbage match.
I want
that
the one
garbage outcome. So, Yeah. No. CM Punk sounds like a guy
with that karaoke.
He sounds like a guy who made a very, very, very bad career decision,
mm-hmm.
and would now like to say the exact thing he needs to say to begin printing money again.
But he sounds like, I don't know what you think, guys, but like he sounds to me like somebody who's so out of touch with what he would need to say if he wants to go back to WWE. Like, sure, ingratiate yourself to Triple H, that's fine. But there are a lot of stars that, in theory, could make money with or without CM Punk. And even people that aren't WWE fans would have to admit that, I would think, Matt. Certainly Roman Reigns. I would think McIntyre and Lashley. There's a lot of names that could make money. AJ Styles. Imagine AJ Styles and CM Punk.
I mean, I would say this. Okay, so take the list of AEW names that he named and put them to the side because he's right on all of those. Yeah, he probably would make money with them. That's true. Well,
sure.
The WWE side, the way I kind of interpret these comments, and it's so hard to tell with CM Punk because I feel like he was born a curmudgeonly old man in some respects. And it's just the way his personality is. And part of me wonders if he's just like, maybe he just has so little interest in actually wrestling for WWE again that he just kind of threw that answer out there. And, I mean, I think deep down he must know on some level that there are guys in that company that he could, you know, quote-unquote, make money with. But maybe he just doesn't care all that much anymore.
Joe, what do you think about that? Like CM Punk, I mean, I first of all, I can't imagine a guy having that kind of gall. You're basically dismissing that entire roster by saying that the owner's son-in-law is the only one that you can make money with there. It struck me as really weird. I couldn't believe how dismissive it was, especially for a guy that shared a locker room with a lot of the guys that are there now.
I guess it just shows where his attention span lies as far as keeping up like the current product. He seems to be more of an AEW type guy, WWE these days. So that's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking furthermore because the rumor was that he went to WWE. He approached them about coming back, and they weren't interested. So nothing gets you more interested in going to a different company than having the one that you originally target saying, we don't want you. Kathy, was he born curmudgeonly? I mean, you've known him for a long time. Is that really him?
When I knew Punk, you know, when he was working with Ring of Honor and everything, he was always a great guy. You know, he loved doing what he did. And even when he was in WWE, he loved doing what he did.
Okay. So
just to make a comparison, would you call me a great guy in 20 years?
I just want to
see where the bar is set. To be determined, right?
Stop it.
Everybody got silent. Ia Putin says.
Yeah, seriously. get the crickets going. One more thing I really just kind of wanted to delve into for tonight. And we touched on it last week, but I definitely wanted to get to it kind of during the intro of the show. The whole Austin Jericho interview, I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it. I actually stayed up after WrestleMania. I probably made about an hour and a half of it before I finally fell asleep. But he did touch on AEW. I was a little surprised. You know, I figured they would kind of gloss over some stuff. But, I mean, on one hand, right, it's like all stuff that I expected them to say, and they focus mostly on WWE. But on the other, he did really put over that company and, like, you know, his enjoyment of kind of being there.
The thing is, I mean, I'm with you. It came across as jarring just because it's not something you expect to hear. I mean, the reality is that if, you know, if this were, you know, then Bryan Danielson being interviewed and putting over Ring of Honor, you know, our jaws would have hit the floor. So it's certainly new, and maybe for no other reason it is jarring. But, and I took some time to kind of think about this and reflect on it. I suppose it shouldn't be as surprising as we made it up to be last week and that it might have been when we first heard it today. Because and when you look at the people who are there, this isn't like TNA, where you had Jeff Jarrett with just the lifetime grudge against Vince.
And vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, there's guys there that have, you know, they haven't exactly been at the front of the Rolodex for a while, but, I mean, Who's there that you would say there's no way a deal could possibly happen? Too much bad blood, too much. I mean, there isn't one.
No, I mean, there's not a name specifically, but just the way things kind of went down and the fact that they actually positioned NXT against AEW and I don't know, the entire thing just, I mean, I don't know that there was necessarily, like, a grudge on WWE's part or anything like that. But I know the age-old tradition of the company is we don't really acknowledge the competition. The only time that they've historically, and Matt, I'm pretty sure I remember a time when they acknowledged WCW, but the only time they acknowledge the competition is when they're not really a threat.
Yeah, I mean, I remember by the time Vince McMahon started saying, like, you know, the one line that jumps out
WCW?
At me that I can remember off the top of my head is, yeah, like, I'd rather join WCW than join DX. And but at that, by the time he said that, like, you know,
yeah, it was like 99, right?
Like, yeah, it was like Triple H's DX with, like, X-Pac and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's WCW was starting to, you know, fall behind at this point. I don't really remember him talking a lot about WCW in 97 and 98.
Sure, that's one thing I always found interesting. Like, WCW, is it like when you're the bottom guy, you don't mean, or when you're on top, you don't mean, I don't know, like, it's always kind of weird. Like, it usually, traditionally, companies don't talk about the other company, but I feel like WCW started a trend where, like, everybody but WWE talks about the competition. Is that something that you picked up? Like, I don't know. It just always struck me as weird how much WCW would talk about WWE.
Yeah, well, it's funny because even back then we were watching each other's product in the locker room. Like, we were watching Raw. and we watch ECW, and I've heard reports where other like ECW guys watch both of us, and then WWE guys watch Nitro.
Yeah, right.
So it's pretty wild.
And they would try and like counter-program each other, wouldn't they? Like, oh, they got the ladies, we can send these out now because like that'll beat them. Didn't they do that? It was like chess.
Oh yeah,
that's crazy. But I like Blake Bischoff, he would mention WWE an entire show. And for me, like, it was so groundbreaking when DX and
Vince. Remember he called out Vince McMahon?
Yeah, to a fight.
Yeah.
And do you remember how Vince responded? I loved it. It was one of my favorite response. In fact, I want to use it on Facebook the next time somebody challenges me to a fight. Matt, do you remember? He said that he would gladly fight Eric Bischoff, devoid of any cameras, in any back alley in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was great. I thought that was great. And that was clearly just an attempt to spike ratings. But, right, I remember when DX invaded WCW. I think most fans do. But that was so revolutionary because they never really talked about WCW before that. It's a weird thing. And to see it kind of play out in an interview, no, you're right, it's not, like, entirely unexpected. I think the announcement was the biggest shock value of the whole thing. But it still seems so counterintuitive to the way both companies have acted so far.
It does seem counterintuitive to me what this has always felt like.
Yeah.
It has always felt, and even if you go back to, you know, even to before any of us were even twinkles in our father's eyes, and you look at some of the old territories, it has always felt like WCW or whoever the successor to WCW is as sort of the top dog of the rest has always tried to position themselves as sort of like a de facto St. Louis Wrestling Club or, you know, JCP or, you know, whatever era you want to look at, whoever you think sort of the top controlling territory was. Whereas WWE has always sort of tried to act like their own NWA and to kind of shut all of that out. I'm not necessarily sure if I think of it as revolutionary. It is interesting to see WWE shift away from their kind of isolationist stance, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what that is as much – I mean, Strowman would have more insight into that than any of us because he's the one who's actually been in the backstage area and would be able to talk more about the mindset that
– Without getting kicked out, you should clarify. I'm only kidding.
God, you're just insufferable. You know that. But like he's the only one that could, you know, with any real knowledge speak to this. It seems as if perhaps WWE, maybe they've decided that nobody's ever going to catch them, and that it is better to have strong feeder systems than it is to just crush your competition.
Better to have strong feeder systems. Yeah, I that probably is where they're at. Now, I don't agree with that, Ray, from like a strategic viewpoint, because. And I kind of touched on this last week. Like, AEW is close to pulling a one. In fact, I'm so curious to see how they do without competition the first week, which I guess will be this Wednesday, right? It will be the first time that AEW doesn't. If they break a million, then I don't think it's a major, major thing to say that they'll be able to gain another half million in the next 6 months. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. And if they do that and WWE
get stagnant again, as it tends to do after WrestleMania, hey, there's a good chance we could be looking at comparable ratings. Now, of course, ratings don't equal the size of the company or the profitability of the company or anything like that, but that's one metric where you could look at that and say, well, AEW maybe could feasibly catch them. And I know you said that's a stretch, but I don't feel like it's that far off.
I suppose you're right that it's not necessarily a stretch to catch them, but the idea that that would be meaningful, I guess, is what I'm saying would be a stretch. Because the reality is that, look, WCW had basically an unlimited amount of money behind them. The reason that they were able to get traction and to then put pressure on Vince and create the Monday Night Wars and all that jazz that goes along with it is because they had an unlimited faucet of Ted Turner money behind them. Vince couldn't kill them. AEW, yeah, they might get.
That was for the money. They were cheering for the money. They're just slow tonight.
Hooray for the money. Sure. AEW might get.
All right. That should be it.
Okay. So, AEW might catch WWE in the ratings. Dynamite might catch Raw. Who knows? But, first off, I think you had a lot more overlap, or a lot more overlap now than you did back in the 90s. I think that you were getting very, very different markets back then. I mean, the people that are watching Dynamite are probably watching Raw.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean that is what it is. Now,
not necessarily, but yeah, it could be.
I mean, I think that there is a lot more overlap there, and because you look at dollars that get brought in, and you look at size of venues and all that, like there is probably a significant overlap there. I mean, the reality is that if I go outside and I grab 10 random people on the street and I say, "Hey, do you know what WWE is?" I'm going to get a percentage of them that say yeah. But if I go outside and say, you know what AEW is, I'm going to get all kinds of crazy guesses. And, that kind of thing, I think, maybe speaks to the fact that there's probably a lot more overlap there.
Sorry, thought you were done.
Because the second thing is that Todd Kahn has not said or indicated in any way that he doesn't have his "I'm in the wrestling business" sort of moment. There's been nothing to signal that, like, if this was something that began to, really take away from other ventures or other interests or start significantly draining, money that he has to invest in things and play around in things.
Yeah.
Vince can probably kill this a lot easier if he wants to than the last time that he was seriously challenged when you're going to go to war with Ted Turner? Good luck, bud.
It's true. I mean, it's true. And I don't think anybody here is comparing AEW to WCW, except in terms of the presentation that they're putting out there a lot of the time. You talk about brand awareness, and one thing that I always thought is so indicative of where people's heads are at as far as, like, recognizing brands or whatever, you look at the T-shirts. And in particular, you look at the T-shirts that you see not at a wrestling show, but for example, the Jersey Shore in the summer, when I go to the boardwalk, there was a time when, like, I would see all NWO or, like, all Austin 316. And, like, DX was another one. Kids were getting suspended from high school for, you know, right? And like, that's what the, I was doing the crotch chop for those who couldn't see it. And that's, but that just speaks to, like, how I don't see anyone wearing a Kenny Omega shirt to the mall this weekend. And I love Kenny Omega. I don't see them wearing an Inner Circle shirt to the mall. There's no act in AEW that I think is quite to that point yet, other than Mike Tyson, who really has nothing to do with AEW aside from superficially. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of cross that bridge. If they come up with a real home run of an angle, and that was more like a bunt. But if they come up with a home run, then like, yeah, that could get the eyes on them that they need to increase the brand recognition. And now you're talking about something real, but they're not there yet. And you're right. And ratings are just such a small, tiny part of the overall thing, you know. And certainly WWE isn't even worried about ratings anymore. I actually thought there was a time when they were considering abandoning their cable contracts and just putting all their stuff on the network. That's what it seemed like. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. 914-338-1885 is the number to call in. I want to take a real quick commercial break, and on the other side, when we come back, we'll start to delve into the callers. I see Malcolm. I see Rat Boy. Justin is back. We'll have to talk to Justin as well. 914-338-1885. It's in the room on the VOC Nation Radio Network, and we will be right back.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
After has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, talking here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill After's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my own.
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, After's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is?
Well,
I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think... I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was an early champion.
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill After, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiant?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a loss.
Did have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is just that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
Hey, this is a Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kathy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also,
this is the Slister, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stagg of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kathy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
nothing get broken either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school, match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Blu-ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Blu-ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer.
reminded me. 914-338-1885. Ray, you weren't around when Justin and Dustin had their epic rant, were you? That was and we set it to circus music. It was so much fun. Were you there?
No,
you were. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people weren't. I think that they deserve to hear it. It was absolutely amazing. No, there's a lot worse than them. Wow.
Yep, you guys are all happy that school you really had a suit on the ropes when that fourth ball should never count. I called him a boy, and that's what he is.
Wow.
He's a boy. He's
this
a piece
is the kind of offensive language you can only get from Dustin and Dustin discussing.
Why do you hate
that? Yeah,
yeah,
he's probably fucking through my guitar.
Why is he a boy? He's a piece of
I'm on the top. I'm on the
top. 914-338-1885. Welcome back, everybody, to In the Room right here on the VOC Nation, VOC Wrestling Nation. Check us out on VOCNation.com and all of your favorite podcast platforms. Before we really kind of dive back in, Stro, what do you got going on this week?
Well, this Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, will be WCW Retro on VOCNation.com. And the topic of discussion this Thursday will be the career of the Total Package, Lex Luger. So looking forward to diving in on that. And then this Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature will be The Moon of the Wolf from the 70s. So please tune in.
You like Titus O'Neil, like, you know? That'd be great.
Right?
Lex is an amazing topic, and what a figure throughout wrestling history. You know, whether you like him or you hate him, like, he's just, it's impossible to deny, you know, the impact that he's had across quite a few companies, you know. He's a guy that we've had on the show, I guess, what, Kathy, two or three times now. He's top notch, you know. So that'll be cool. I definitely recommend people kind of check that out. Of course, tonight we're talking WrestleMania. We're talking all things WrestleMania with the show having just gone down 2 days ago. And, Ray, you were talking about the show kind of being disappointing in a lot of different ways. One of the things that we were talking about off air, and I think we all kind of agree, because we've been talking about it for 6 weeks heading into WrestleMania, was the way they handled Lashley and McIntyre. I was happy to see Lashley retain. I was surprised. But the way that they did it was a little strange. And I feel like if they had built it up correctly, I was saying this off air again, they could have had McIntyre pass out from the pain, much like they did with Austin and Brett. And Austin was actually made a star out of this. I feel like McIntyre was not made a star out of this.
So, unlike the SmackDown Women's match, which I am going to explode at later on in the show, I think we're all more or less in agreement with how the McIntyre-Lashley match went down. I, like you, was pleasantly surprised to see Lashley retain, because I think he's a very good heel champion that you're probably not going to have another chance to strike while this particular iron is hot. That being said, you are 100% right that the way they did this, I mean it's pretty much, they pretty much had the worst possible way to end the match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want, if, I mean, we came on the show for weeks and weeks and talked about, well, what are they going to do with this quandary that they've put in? And we talked about potentially shoehorning in a three-way match for the title. And we talked about, like, We talked about perhaps having a disqualification somewhere. We talked about interference from somewhere. And the thing is, you can't look at how that match went and think that they have an investment in Drew McIntyre the way that their actions for the last several months seem to indicate that they would.
Mm-hmm.
If you just sit down and say, no, we need to have a clean finish, more or less, in the ring at WrestleMania, fine. I'll get behind you. But then you need to have a moment similar to Austin's, where Drew doesn't necessarily tap. He doesn't necessarily throw in the towel. He tapped. That was as clean of a clean finish as you can get. The only way that it even makes sense off camera to me, and this would be the kind of thing, Stro, I'd be interested to know what you said. Is there a reluctance on the part of wrestlers to sort of mimic past great finishes? Because to me, the only reason to not go that route is McIntyre saying he's not comfortable doing a similar finish to that Austin mm-hmm. one.
Well, I guess the only way, sometimes there'll be like tributes to a certain finish if a finish was that memorable, if you will. But I mean, we try to do all we can to, do finishes as original as possible, but I mean,
make it your own.
Exactly. So it's like, of course there's been repetitive ones through the years, but we try to make it as original as we possibly can.
I found it interesting, and how I would have done it, I would have had McIntyre pass out from the pain. I actually thought he did pass out. Did he actually tap? If he did, I missed that. I actually thought that he just was unresponsive and they ended it. But I felt like they could have built up a lot of drama around that. They could have had him reach for the ropes, have Lashley kind of pulling back, make numerous attempts, be in there way too long, and in the end, just pass out. And if they had done that, and then the next night on Raw, you have Adam Pearce come out and say, you know what, forget WrestleMania Backlash, you're never getting another title shot again. And now what I would do is I would have these two stars, these two monsters, on a three-hour show kind of running parallel with one another, and I would have done that over the course of the next 6 to 8 months or whatever. And by the time they touched at SummerSlam or Survivor Series or maybe even next WrestleMania, I think it could have been an even bigger match than it was this year. That's just my thought on it. But I would have built up the anticipation there. That's what I would have done.
I mean, that would have made a lot of sense too. For me, it's that you put yourself in an unenviable position, but then you took the literal only route that resulted in a net downside. Because the reality is yes, you have a hot commodity with Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. Popular heels are good to have around because they don't manifest themselves all that often. But you also have a ton of resources put into Drew McIntyre. To me, and I'm not,
Sorry about that, Ray. He's driving me nuts here. I keep muting him, and he keeps calling back and unmuting. Sorry about that, Ray. Go on.
So, as I said, you had a hot commodity with Lashley, and you want to keep that around.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a ton of resources over the better part of a calendar year, put into Drew McIntyre. I think for the better, because we've come on this show and agreed that McIntyre was an integral part of making WWE even remotely watchable.
Sure.
During what was month after month of, for all practical purposes, empty arena shows. To me, and I, this is another thing where I couldn't speak to this and you couldn't speak to this. Only Stro could speak to this. To me, it would be demoralizing to be sitting in the back watching that unfold, because to me that says no matter what I do, no matter what's behind me, I can never feel secure in my position with this company, that I am going to be asked to do something and that I can know what I am going to be asked to do on a regular basis for some period of time.
Don't you think that's a little dramatic, though?
I don't. I'm taking what should be a conclusion and extrapolating it to its logical extreme.
Okay. All right. And I'm curious what everybody else thinks. 914-338-1885. We're going to go to the phones, and first we're going to go to Malcolm, which I'm sure is going to be like a roller coaster built into a podcast. What's going on, Malcolm?
Roller coaster.
Best part is I can just disappear if I have to.
Hey, Brady.
What's going on, brother?
Saturday, the first day of WrestleMania, I was at Adam's mom, his stepmom, his dad's house. His stepmom's name is Teresa, and we spent time with his mom Saturday and his new girlfriend, Jessica. Jessica's really nice, and she's coming down early tomorrow morning. No, she's just a nice lady. You know, and she's perfect for Adam. He just went through his divorce. He's still going through it right now from last year.
Who's Adam?
And
are you talking about Adam Copeland?
No, Adam, his name is Adam Helms. He's a wrestling promoter in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
He works the local
My second guess was Adam West.
Oh, no, it's not Adam West. That's
okay.
Another reason
okay.
I like
right.
Adam. He's got my favorite first name. I told him that.
What about
but
Adam
his girlfriend's coming down.
Adam Brady was your first favorite
in the morning.
First name.
His girlfriend's coming down early in the morning, about 3 o'clock, so I'm gonna wait up for her because I'm a night owl anyway.
That's cool.
And
we
spent
excited about the little thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his dad's really nice. He's a little older than me as a U.S. Army soldier, and I have total respect for his dad, and his stepmom's really nice, and Jessica's nice, and all five of us just watched WrestleMania. I got to tell you,
okay.
Brady, the best thing about the show, and you can ask Adam, you can ask his dad, you can ask all four of them there, I kept standing up doing a Hulk Hogan pose when the Hulkster came out, because he still is the greatest World Wrestling Federation champion ever, brother, and it'll never
change. You like him as a pirate?
What you gonna do when Malkamania runs wild on you, brother?
You like him as a pirate? I thought that was a little weird. Didn't you think it was weird to see him with Titus?
I tell you what, Brady, I used to go through Oakland Raider withdrawal. I'm not out there anymore. Now I'm going through Hulk Hogan withdrawal. I can't renew my registration or renew my driver's license on my car so I can drive down and see the guy, you know. But, man, I'm just going to explode when I get to stand next to that guy again. He just
– oh, man.
Explain it. I will sign my 1966 Batman record album because, you know, Adam West passed away in 2017. I told Hulkster if I was going to find anybody to replace Adam West to play Batman, maybe not Bruce Wayne, but Batman, it would be you. Anybody, it would be you, you know, because your personality
I love
is
it.
Very authoritative, you know.
I love it.
And
he's never
going to die.
You know what? You know
Brady.
What really struck me at WrestleMania? I you're an old school guy, Malcolm, so I'm sure you can relate. Stro, I got to get your thoughts on this as well. I always thought Edge was kind of a smaller guy. During the Attitude Era, it always seemed to me like he was like a, I don't know, like lighter and like I knew he was a little tall, but I don't know. He was almost as big as Roman Reigns. And I think of Roman Reigns as, like, one of the biggest guys on the roster. So, like, it really struck me, like, that a guy from 15 years ago that we thought was small is as big as, like, one of the biggest guys there now.
Yeah, Brady.
Yeah, he's got
you know,
you know, he's always had the height. You know what I mean? He was just, like,
yeah.
Real lean.
And he really filled out.
On,
like,
yeah, he's put on some muscle.
He has.
Yeah. You know, Brady, you know what's great about Edge? The look in his eyes on Sunday night in the main event against Roman Reigns, against Daniel Bryan. I mean, the possessive look in his eyes. It was Hulkamania, man. I could feel it. Like when he was in the Sky Dome in Toronto watching Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, he he said that's what turned him on.
My favorite WrestleMania.
I could feel it. I haven't met Edge yet. He was there at the Call for Alley Club in 2013, and I was going through depression, so I wasn't in the mood hardly to meet anybody. But Edge, Adam Copeland, I want to know if I meet you, man, the Hulkamania is coming out, brother, because I tell you, even though you lost that match and Daniel Bryan lost that match on Sunday night, you guys gave me a performance. I mean, I don't care if they're winners. I don't care if they're losers in a match. They always give you a great performance. They hit the gym. They give you the best damn performance of their lives. And if you can't respect that, then you better stop being a wrestling fan. And something else, Brady, Bobby Lashley.
Very well
said. Dominated the Walking Armageddon. My man Bobby Lashley took the title, baby. He's the man, brother. He had the Hulkamania inside of him in Tampa Bay, Florida, the home of the world champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tom Brady, and Gronk.
Do you think Hulk went out drinking with Lashley after the show?
I don't know, but maybe he hit the bottle with Titus O'Neil. Hulk Hogan knows I don't drink alcohol. Steve Austin knows I don't drink alcohol. Everything about me, Brady, when I become an actor in the future, is all natural. I can zip through a script like a vacuum cleaner.
You're not getting implants?
And pop it through.
Can you feel
Bobomania,
Ray?
I can't
feel
wait to do a movie with this guy, man.
This is all natural now, Cole? Really, you had no help to get you are.
I mean, you know what?
Bro, do you think Brooke
Hogan
has hit Hulkamania inside her?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It lives in me. I told Hulk Hogan it goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah,
you know, like Paul McCartney.
When did it get inside you?
For approximately 36 hours.
Yeah, people used to talk about Paul McCartney in the 80s, and he wasn't that popular, but he was always inside me.
Oh, man.
Just like Hulk Hogan, you know, they were forgetting about him for a while. You never forget about Hulk Hogan. No. Roddy Piper,
I love it,
85. You know, Brady,
I seriously would like to be your manager
today.
In a match, Stro. Do you like a sheet thing?
A sheet thing, yeah.
We could do Stro versus Malcolm, and I'll be in Malcolm's corner.
No, I ain't taking on Stro. Stro's my bud, man. He's going to be at the Hall of Fame ceremony, mate.
He'll get you.
Baby, in Charleston, and me and the Puppet Stro, and me and Tommy Wildbarowicz, we're going to get wild, brother. It's going to be crazy,
but
brother.
But Malcolm's a shooter, too.
Hulk Hogan is going to come out, brother. Hulk Hogan needs to come out there.
I heard Malcolm was a hooker. He goes around on
the
street with hooking people.
I'm a hulkster.
You know, be cool if Ray was like
hooker,
that cheek, like a Jimmy Farr from Cannonball Run. He was amazing.
Oh, Malcolm.
You're
the
man.
Malcolm, what do you think about
it? Remember this big scene where Jimmy Farr pulls to the drive-thru and talks to the lady, and he backs the car up and then pulls up to the front and gives her a wad of cash and says, here, get a physical.
I would be willing to, like, do that to a really fat lady or a really fat guy. Like, at the show. Just, like have, like, a wad of, like, the fake, like, the play money, the acting money, and just walk up and hand it to him. Get a physical.
Thank you for the call, Malcolm. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. Oh, man. 914-338-1885 is the number to call in tonight. Obviously, Lashley and McIntyre, there was some things they could have done a little differently, I think. Although, by and large, like I said, I was very pleased I was very pleased, and the hooker liked it. You know, the guy's going around shooting people in the, shooting on people in the street. Not shooting people. Please don't take that the wrong way. Can't say that today. Hey, what was your problem with the women's match? I thought it was amazing. Aside from the thing when she started whipping her with the hair and they added the sound effects, like she was like hitting her with a steel rod.
So a couple of things bothered me about that match. First off, that's Stro and Derek and I's gimmick. Don't steal our bit, Brady.
We used to do that back in the day. That was how when we were doing interviews, because we didn't have like a chat or like a verbal, we didn't have a visual to see each other.
I remember that.
So like I'm doing an interview and you want to ask a question. So you would do like the verbal and like that meant you were going to go next. Mm-hmm. And that's how we knew. Mm-hmm. Tear away that fourth wall there, just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Brady's the magic man. Now you see him, now you don't.
Magic Brady.
He's magic man. That's a good song. Anyway, here's what I watched. I watched the most dumbass storyline in history. She has a dream, and it's going to be uplifting. First, screw you. What a stupid lazy.
Everybody has a dream at WrestleMania.
What a stupid, lazy story. Number two, here's what I watched. I watched Sasha Banks make someone that absolutely refused to sell any moves look really good. And you took the belt off of who I think is probably your best worker not named Becky Lynch.
Or Alexa. Becky. Just Becky.
I think you took the belt off of
Bailey's pretty good too.
Bailey is pretty good. But I'm gonna
say Lily.
I might say Bailey once.
Lily.
So
Lily's like
Bailey's probably in that conversation, but like those three certainly are sort of a cut above everybody else. I get Charlotte Flair does some good stuff, but to me, a lot of that is name recognition, really as much as anything else. To me, your three best people to put in the ring are probably Bailey, Sasha, not Bailey, probably Becky, Sasha, Bailey. And I'm willing to, that's my order, but I'd be willing to hear you out on order. But then there is certainly, to me, a drop-off after those three. And that's fine.
That'd be a fun topic.
That would be a fun, that sounds like a topic for next week.
Do some homework, guys.
Yeah.
Just those three, though. We're not even going to put Charlotte in there.
I would say, the thing is, there to me there is a drop off after that third, but there are several drop offs. So you have a drop off, you have a measurable drop off, and then you have your wrestlers like Charlotte.
I got you.
But you took the belt off one of your best workers and a woman who can actually be compelling on the microphone. And you put it on. You put it. Look, it's a dumb storyline. But I get it. People are not bright or insightful, and so they like it. But who is she going to have good matches with?
Good at selling. What were you asking me? Who's going to have a good match with her? With who?
What's going on in the office, Brady?
I'm a little confused.
Okay.
Where does Nia Jax fit into this?
Was that from WrestleMania?
I'm at 42.
No, it's not good.
Oh my!
That will forever be one of the best soundbites. But to get back on track, who is Bianca going to have good matches with? Because right now, you've been having...
Billy.
Then leave the title on one of them so that they can have good matches with lots of other people instead of putting it on Bianca, who's going to have to be carried match after match. Because she can't sell anything. She couldn't sell water to the Arabs.
Because it's hot in the desert, you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So here's my thing. I think she could have done a better job selling, but I'm not going to tear her apart. I think, by and large, she's very popular, and sometimes that's enough. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and see how she does against somebody who's not Sasha. Put her in there with Tamina and see what she can do. You know, put her in there with here's a good one. Put her in there with Carmella. See what she can do. And if she can't do the same kind of stuff that Sasha can do with Carmella, then you have a pretty good idea where she is. But until you really get that, I don't know that that's really fair to say that she can. Because she might be. I feel like she gets an incomplete right now.
There's two things there. I think that without having it be the person that is supposed to be the front and center of your division because they have the title belt, however much WWE is choosing to value or devalue them is irrelevant because that belt should be the person that is making the best matches with your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, I actually agree with you. I think that the grade of incomplete is probably very fair. Number one, I am going to hold that against you that you can't sell when you're my champion. To put this in terms of a more professional world experience, you know, if you are a brand new apprentice mechanic, I am going to think about your misdiagnosis of a problem very different than I will of a 20-year journeyman doing a misdiagnosis on my car. If you are a brand new teacher, I am not going to hold your inability to, you know, make meaningful, effective assessments the same way that I'm going to hold that against a teacher that's been doing it for a decade.
If you've never had sex, you're not going to be good the first time. Am I right?
Correct. That is also a thing that we could bring up as an example. So,
thank you.
The point being is that if you're just a rank and file member of the roster, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are a tag team or a singles competitor, I'm going to hold your abilities to you differently than I am going to hold the champion to. Because that means something.
I hear you. Number two.
I think your barometer is actually a really good one. So I would not put her in the ring with Tamina as the barometer because Tamina Smith can do some things for you.
Mm-hmm.
She can, you know, would I necessarily want her to be sort of my matchmaker? You know, one of my highlight match people? Maybe not, but Tamina Snuka is not without talent. And she can definitely do some things for you. Your Carmella barometer, I think, is really good. Because when you see Carmella, she should be compelling. She should be interesting. And she certainly looks athletic enough to, like, be believable. But she's pretty average, and that's okay. But have that match first. Don't push Bianca Belair into the title slot and shove one of your best people off to the side and then hope she can carry. Come on, bud.
Mm, Let's bring on Ratboy. Ratboy, what do you think about all this? What do you think about Bianca Belair? Is Ray being a little bit mean to her, or is that fair to say that she's got to learn to do a lot of stuff?
Well, Brady, you might as well talk.
Ratboy, you there?
Nope.
Let's try it this way. You there, Ratboy? Three? Two? Wait. You there, Ratboy? You're not there. All right. I don't know. Maybe try and call back, Ratboy. You're not on the phone. You, no matter how much you point to it, you're not there. Last time, Ratboy, you there? All right. Yeah. Try calling back. I don't know. So anyway, yeah. Stro, what do you think about what the hell's her name? I want to call her Peyton Banks. That isn't it. What the hell's her name?
Sasha Banks.
No, the one that just won the belt. The one with the leather hair.
Oh, Bianca Belair?
Bianca Belair. What do you think about her? Because people criticized Becky when she won the belt. And I feel like Becky was probably a better wrestler, but obviously she's been doing it a whole lot longer, so that's fair to criticize. But I don't know. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen challengers through the years that when he became champion, they were kind of lackluster, and I've seen vice versa, where they became champions and it pretty much made them who they are. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, this is whole new territory for Bianca Belair being the SmackDown Women's Champ. So, I mean, I guess it's a way to see how she carries it.
So you would give her maybe an incomplete as well?
I'd give her benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's just the champ.
I want to see her against more than just Sasha Banks. I want to see her.
Right.
Because it's weird for me because she's been on the main roster for a year, but I really can't remember a whole lot of matches that she's had.
Great champion material.
It's strange. I mean, I guess you bring up a point in a way. If I can't remember a match that she's had, then, like, I don't know. Let's try Ratboy one last time. You there, buddy?
Yes, I am here.
So what do you think? Is Ray being unfair to Bianca Belair?
Yeah, man. They're being unfair to Bianca. I think she's a good champion, you know? You know, this is the first time ever. This is the first time ever we had at WrestleMania a black person versus a black person for the belt. It went down in history.
So happy. Oh, yep.
They actually pointed it out on commentary, the first time the two black women fought in the main event.
I actually remember the exact time. I actually remember, Ratboy. I remember when Dr. King gave the speech and he said, I have a dream. And he said, I have a dream that one day my daughters will be judged not by their abilities or by their character, but by whether or not they were black. Good job.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't know. Maybe he is.
No, and there's another thing that I don't know. I don't know if you guys look over it. Okay.
I don't.
You see, like the bird dipping into the water.
Have you seen the Riot Squad? What they were wearing
was like Talking Heads.
What's that?
The Riot Squad was wearing. Well, Ruby Riott was wearing a Joker outfit, and Ms. Morgan was Harley Quinn. You noticed that?
Yeah, I saw that. I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
that's some hard-hitting analysis.
Watched the pay-per-view, that boy.
Yeah.
And I thought Matt Riddle was going to come out, okay, in a Riddle shirt, but he didn't.
Now I need to know, Ratboy. Which match was your milk break? Because they didn't really build a milk break in. Like, which one do you run to 7-Eleven for? Because, like, I had to strategically choose when I was going to, like, leave because, you know, you can't pause it, you can't rewind it, you can't fast-forward it. All you can do is walk away.
Wait a minute. What did they say before the show? You're going to miss it if you don't got Peacock. I have Peacock, and plus I can go back and watch it anytime I want.
Well, yeah, but you got to wait until it's over to watch it. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, you know. Put it this way. The first night was really good.
I used to be allowed to do it, so now I can't.
I love Saturday night better than Sunday night. But, you know, Saturday night was the better one ever. And I tell you what, this one, 37, is going down in history, and this is my number one now. It's 37.
What's that? That's the stupidest fucking call we've ever taken on this show.
Oh, you don't like me, Ray?
I missed the point.
Michael 101 was a great one? Come on, Ray. I'm ready for your ass.
I missed the point.
Excuse my language.
What was the point? What are you saying, Rat Boy? I didn't hear you.
The point is that I love every bit of WrestleMania 37. There was something going on during each match.
He said it was the great. It's gonna go down as the greatest WrestleMania.
Well, because it's the one he remembers.
Oh.
Except my apologies.
Red Boy,
how did the Braun Strowman match, is that the best steel cage match to ever happen at a WrestleMania? I feel like it's got to be up there.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's your barometer, right? There's your barometer.
Of course.
Okay. See, this is the kind of stuff, you know, we make Rat Boy wait and wait and wait to get on the air, and he's ready to explode when he gets here.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that I give everybody credit for WrestleMania 37, but I really give this WrestleMania 37 to the fans. The fans really stand
out.
Good enough. Great call, Rat Boy. Good job.
And next week I'll be a 50. And next week I'll be a 57 Chevy rolling down the highway. I can't wait.
All right, brother.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
See you, homie.
I can't get back on because I'm not updating my laptop.
All right, take care. All right. Well, we're going to bring on from one end of the spectrum. That came out wrong. Spectrum is probably the wrong word to use. From one end of this area all the way to the other side, we got Derek on the line, and I feel a debate coming on, Derek. I do, because Ray has been very harsh toward Bianca Belair, and I feel like I should go get my popcorn.
In what way?
Well, here's my thing. And I'll let Ray speak for himself, but from my perspective, I thought she did about as well as I expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because she's been on the main roster for a year, and I really can't remember a whole lot of matches that she's had. I want to see her against Tamina. I want to see her against Carmella. Mm-hmm. I want to see how she does when she's not in there with one of the best workers in the company. Men or women. That's where I am. Now, Ray, Ray feels a little, well, I guess to a certain extent you feel like I feel.
Mm-hmm. Now, you remember, here's my rebut to that. Now, I remember during the rise of Becky Lynch, everybody except Stro, and I don't think Ray was around then, but you guys were telling me she's the best thing since sliced bread, and all she did was get punched in the face by Nia Jax. And then she went on to have a subpar title reign with terrible matches with Lacey Evans. This is what I was told how great Becky was during that whole thing. I remember Braun Strowman being a cartoon character and certain people on this show telling me that Braun was this next big like star they were going to have and they should have pushed him, but the guy couldn't even run without looking like he was going to destroy his kneecaps. So the thing with Bianca is she's had good matches with people besides Sasha. I'm not a wrestler, but you're only as good as the people you're in the ring with. I don't think I've seen anybody have a good match with Tamina, and that goes for Asuka, Charlotte, anybody. She looks like a star. She's not terrible in the ring. I didn't see anything on Saturday night that would lead me to believe, damn, this girl's going to crumble underneath the pressure. They're going to take the belt off of her in 5 months because it's just not going to work.
No, I just gave her an incomplete just because I wanted to see more of a body of work. But I thought she was fine for the spot she got put in. I thought she did really good. And for the record, I don't know that I ever said that Becky was the best. I just said that she was over.
Oh,
the reactions that she was getting, that's how I remember it.
I was arguing with people every week. I remember I was saying things like, she can't even do a drop kick. And people were telling me she was this major star and how great she was. And I was like,
well, she was a major star. You know, Hulk Hogan was a major star, and he couldn't do a drop kick.
Was Becky a star, or did she just look great standing next to Ronda? Because when Ronda's around, she's nothing special when Ronda's not around. Or she's not in the ring.
I think Becky suffered, again, from the brand split. You know, I don't remember Becky getting a whole lot of matches against Sasha. I don't think she fought Bayley the entire ring. Charlotte, by that point, they had wrestled so many times against each other that I think people were sick of it. And that was a tough spot. You know, you had Lacey Evans kind of coming up. And who else was there? Alexa Bliss? You know what I mean? Like that. And again... I mean, there wasn't that depth. You didn't have Shayna Baszler up there at the time. Nia Jax, I mean, Nia Jax is Nia Jax. I think she's one of those girls that looks very good on paper, but when you actually put her in the match, I don't know that she's always the best one for that spot.
I think Becky suffered
from that stuff.
You don't think Becky's great. You don't remember her great Hell in a Cell match against Sasha when Sasha came back and Sasha
should
have beat her, but she
didn't. Couple matches with Sasha, and they were highlights because she was the best competition that they could give her at that point.
And it's not, you know, it's not just Bianca. I saw people writing stuff about Rhea Ripley going, oh, she had a terrible match with Asuka. You know, let's throw the poor girl away, throw in the trash. And my thing is, I forget who said it, but they say, you know, in NXT, they get time to practice their matches. So everything's very crisp and it looks perfect. Stroke could probably speak to this better than I could. I would think there's a learning curve going from NXT and then coming up to Raw, SmackDown, and the day of, they're going, all right, put a match together. I feel like it's a little bit of a curve in catching up to the way things are done on the main roster. But, I mean, given the circumstances, I think it was the right move to put the belt on Bianca and Rhea because who else? There's nobody else there. Like, you want to keep it on Asuka? Then she fought everybody.
No, I mean, I like what it signifies. I mean, I like the fact that it's two young stars that haven't gotten a shot on the main roster carrying their respective brands. I thought that was really cool. They were also the two finalists in the Rumble this year, so it's really indicative of, like, kind of long-term planning, which is really cool because that's something we haven't seen in a long time. And I like where their head is at with some of the veterans as well, like what Charlotte did this week. I expected her to come out, and I was going to be sick. In fact, Matt Grimm said he was sick of it in the chat. But there was a different attitude. There was a different edge to it. And I really kind of dug that, you know. It wasn't just the usual, I'm the best, you all suck, you know, you're all worse than me. It wasn't that. I mean, that was part of it, but that wasn't the whole thing. It was more just like, I'm going to show you how good I am, and now I have this edge. And I really liked that.
it was very Roman Reigns-esque in a way that everything she said is what fans
think
about her.
Thank you, Paul helped her with it.
Yeah, it's like everything she said, the fans say about her. Oh, she's always taking this, and I'm sick of her. Like, they wanted Matt Grimm to have the reaction he had to her. And I think she should have been doing this for a while now. People are going to hate you. Give them all the reasons to hate you.
Sure.
And I liked it.
But now, before I kick it to Ray, because I know his he's probably taking notes and ready to jump in. I got to ask you, Derek, what did you think of the leather hair?
It's I don't know if it's leather or not, but
leg slap? What was that?
I bet you did you see the welt on the side of Sasha's her side? She probably wished it was a leg slap. I like that she doesn't do that a lot. It makes it seem more important when she does do it. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I will tell you this. I think it was Fox put out a thing Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania. Who's Mrs. WrestleMania? And it might be Sasha Banks because I don't remember her having a bad WrestleMania match since she's been called up. I think everything she's been involved with has been pretty damn good.
I agree.
So to be clear, we took the belt off of someone who, quote, hasn't had a bad WrestleMania match that we can think of. Here's my thing, Derek. I watched a WrestleMania match where a top one or two worker in the company's division, and that goes across all brands, dropped the belt to what is basically an unproven commodity. And I saw an unproven commodity that did not do a particularly good job of selling, did not do a particularly good job of, you know, making maybe a sort of middle-of-the-road storyline work. She got the laziest, easiest storyline you could. And this is not to slight her specifically, but that's a very easy storyline she was given to be a sympathetic and compelling person, a compelling character. I don't know who you point to, because your champion should be able to go out and make maybe not necessarily great matches, but good matches with everyone there, because that's what a champion is there to do. And I don't know who you point to on this roster and you say Bianca Belair is going to get the best out of blank. Brady brought up something right before you came on the air, which is that he would have liked to see her fight Carmella. And I told him that I thought that was a really good comparison. Carmella, when she comes out, there's definitely a presence about her that makes me feel like she should be there. She certainly looks athletic enough to be there, but she is pretty run-of-the-mill. I want to see Bianca Belair get good matches out of those people before we take the belt off of someone that we know can get good matches out of those people.
Well, here's my thing, and I'll give this to you too, Brady. When they put the belt on Batista, who was he leading in great matches? Or did they put the belt on him and then put him with other good people so he could become good? The same for John Cena at that same WrestleMania. I don't think you necessarily have to be I see you said the storyline was lazy. I believe the storyline was the rookie and the vet thing that they always do, which I don't know if I'd call it lazy because the crowd ate it up. So it worked to a certain extent. I don't think I don't think Bianca's as bad as, not that you guys are saying she is. Obviously, she's not a five-star in-ring general like Sasha or any of the four horsewomen are. Well, three of the four. I wouldn't call Becky a in-ring general. But if something can be said about star presence.
That's our topic for next week, by the way.
What, five-star ring generals?
We're gonna rank those three, Sasha, Bailey, and Becky. But not now. Just something to chew over.
You're not going
to
include Charlotte? I don't know.
I look at it like those three are kind of perceived at about the same level. And then there's Charlotte, who's like, she's such a star.
Here.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, and I think I've said this before, and people get mad. Charlotte just, like you said, she seems, and I guess she gets it because of who her dad is, and she probably gets it from him. She seems like a big deal from the music, the presentation, when she stands in the ring, and she's so tall. She looks like a star. Like if you were making, it used to be when you thought of the prototypical female wrestler, it'd be Trish, and now it's kind of like Charlotte now just because of her build. Bianca, I
couldn't get the Alexa music fast enough. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, everything she touches, she ruins. I just want to let you know that, Alexa. Everything she
gets. Are you not a fan of Lily?
Jesus Christ.
You know, Derek, I was telling them, Alexa sitting on top of the box with, like, the bloody face, that is by far the most attractive that a WWE diva has ever been to me.
She, I wanted Randy to RKO her one more time. But,
I really thought
so. Is she going to fight the Fiend next? Like, are they going to have like
I don't know what this is. I'm thinking that she's going to take her act to the women's division now and not just be on his side. That's the only thing I can figure. But I wish they get away from that.
Poor Bray, he's come up with like three different pretty damn good ideas, and it took them less than 3 months to ruin all three of them. That poor bastard, he's gonna run out of ideas. But I think now that Bianca's champion, I guess we have to see who they're gonna put her in the ring with next. Maybe it's Carmella. Maybe it'll be Carmella. She's rarely been on television. She's been like a tag team now with Billie Kay. But I think
you got Bailey.
I think it's
Sasha and Bailey.
You got Bailey. I think
I would
take
Sasha till SummerSlam. I feel like you could book a whole year with the talent that they have.
Yeah, and like I feel like Ruby Riott is somebody who can have a. I think she's completely underrated. They can. I think her and Liv should have won the titles. They look like a damn good team night one, and then they lose to Nia and Natty. I mean,
that was a little weird.
I thought they were going to win. But they definitely have the talent to put her in the ring. I think the thing that hurts her is they don't have house shows. So she can't go out and run house shows every week and get better and better. She's wrestling essentially, what, once a week?
As a side, when Billie Kay came out with Carmella, when they got eliminated, I so wanted the next team out there to be Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. Like, I just thought the crowd would have been insane. If especially when I thought Billie was going to get eliminated, like, in her first match, you know? So she would lose, go to the back, and then the Iconics music would hit. That would probably be one of the biggest reactions of the night if they did that.
Why did they break them up?
I miss the Iconics.
They broke them up so they could put Peyton Royce on the side because her new tag team partner, because they abandoned the singles run that she was going to get that quickly, is pregnant. So now Peyton Royce can't do anything for 9 months, I guess, because her partner is pregnant. It's stupid.
That's so bad. That's stupid. That's like when they broke
You know what?
The
that's
outlook.
Not.
Not comparing them to the
that's
outlook.
That's not.
When they broke up that. What? What is it? Yeah.
It's not. Iconic! Sorry.
Remember when they broke up the Outlaws just to put Road Dogg with Kay Quick? And it was like, well, if you're going to let him be in a tag team, just let him be with Billy Gunn.
Yeah. The only thing that gave us was The Rock and Billy Gunn. Dear God, my name is Billy.
And the only problem is I absolutely suck.
He's like, well, Bobby, actually, it's Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is.
It doesn't matter what... Speaking of absolutely... no, what's going on, oh. Justin? Are you in a better mood this week?
I'm in a better mood.
Good.
Hi, like Sal.
Joey Esther, how you doing, pal?
This is a great call.
What's going on?
This is awesome. Well, what about you?
All right, brother.
Hey, Brady, I'm back.
Show Andy how you doing, pal.
I'm doing okay. How's he doing?
Show, how are you doing?
Doing blessed to be here, man.
He's blessed to be here.
I have a question. Brady, I have a question for Derek.
Okay.
Derek, Ray has a question for you.
Tell him okay.
Derek said okay.
All right. Brady, ask Derek if he realizes that this call is what a lithium overdose would sound like.
I can't. Justin, what's going on? Are you on what are you on right now? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm totally fine. Why would you ask me that question?
You got some RVD. Because
you sound like you're messed up.
Sound a little slow.
I'm fine.
The uptake's all right?
I'm fine. I mean, when I watched, here's a couple of things I have a question about WrestleMania.
Okay.
I was watching the end of, Sorry, Brie. I was watching the end of Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan and Edge match.
Who won that?
I mean, the finish was terrible, but I would like to see Roman throw Brian out of the ring, put Edge's neck in the middle of the chair and break his neck and finish the
break
match.
His neck.
But of course.
Now would this be regular submission rules or just like a neck breaking match?
It was a terrible match. It would have been better to see Roman break Edge's neck because he does not have anything to do of coming back to WrestleMania. And I'm like, yeah.
What?
Hold on. I have questions. I have questions.
Hold on, let me turn the Muppets off. All right, go ahead.
Here's my first question. Why don't you like Edge? Why do you think he has no reason being at WrestleMania?
What was that?
Did you hear me?
He wanted to know why you don't like Edge and why he shouldn't be at WrestleMania.
Why don't I like Edge?
Mm-hmm.
Because
Justin said, why don't you like Edge?
Because I think Edge took a pussy. I think Edge took a pussy way move out of it. It's just like, I gotta retire due to my neck injury.
God.
Yeah, and you're just a pussy. That's all.
Let me ask you a question. I'm glad we're having this conversation. Do you know what's wrong with what was wrong with his neck? Your phone was breaking up, what'd you say?
You're breaking up. I think we got to let you go because we can't hear you real well.
He'll
say it, he said.
Because little edgy boy had a little neck problem. So he says,
yeah, but what was the neck problem?
Do you know what it was? Back to 10 years ago.
Do you know what the neck problem was? Like, do you know how serious
it was?
It was
muscle stiffness, wasn't it?
It was his stenosis.
You know what it was? It wasn't that serious, because if I was in the ring, I'd break his fucking neck.
Hold on. And don't cut him off, Brady. This is like he said he was going to take Stroh's legs out last week. How would you break his neck?
Because he's a hooker.
Right. So I tell you this. If I was in the ring with Stroh and Edge, I put both their neck. I put both their heads in a steel chair and I'd the hell out.
Dude, now you think they would just lay there and let you do this?
That's not nice, is it?
Of course.
No.
Of course they would, because of course they would. But Stroh and Edge are both a bitch that they are.
Huh.
No, what I would have liked is if they all...
I love you too.
I would have liked it if they all locked each other in a guillotine, all three of them. Like, if Brian locked Edge in the guillotine, and then Edge locked Roman in the guillotine, and Roman locked Daniel Bryan in the guillotine, like a three-way guillotine, and they all tapped out simultaneously.
No.
Hey, I've come close to breaking my own neck by my own self.
Without Justin's help, I mean.
Brian had to retire because of head injury. Does that make him a bitch too?
Yep, just like you, Derek.
I mean, you know what my definition of a bitch is? Somebody calling me a name who weighs 150 pounds and know they'll never be in the same room as me. That's my definition. That's my definition of what. Yeah.
He weighs 160, pal.
I'm sorry.
Put him on hold for a second.
All right, hold on, Josh.
Okay, Derek, here's my definition of a bitch, Derek. Let's see how close it is.
I'm old.
All right, Stroh, let's see how close this is to your definition of a bitch.
Okay.
My definition of a bitch is someone who can't hold a job at Burger King and takes out his frustrations about being an incel by calling into internet radio shows and berating people who have accomplished more in their life than he can ever even hope to in a wet dream. That's my definition of a bitch.
Hi, Justin. You agree with that definition? That sounds fair, right?
No, I totally do not agree with that.
I mean,
if you really wanted to, you could put me into the great with me, Derek and Stroh, and I'd break both their necks. And
you would bring
that'd be Super 11.
Oh yeah, I'd break your neck.
I mean, I like neck bones, but this is getting ridiculous.
How about right?
Do you ever snap a neck like you do like a turkey leg? You know how you grab each side and it's like, you know, or like the wishbone, I mean, you know, like it's for good luck. You break it. You ever do one of them? Or like
yeah,
a
wish. Yeah,
remember, snap your fingers, snap your neck?
Yeah, I could.
Snap your neck. Yeah.
Hey, Brady.
Hey,
you know how.
You like that Busta Rhymes song, Break Your Neck?
I'll break your neck.
What was that
song?
Hey, Brady, you know, Stroh, I could probably break his neck with him. Yeah, a couple minutes.
I don't think you... The only neck you break is your own.
I break Stroh's neck, and I'd be happy with it.
I was trying to think of a choking
crossface.
Hey, you got a question for that, Stroh, too?
Stroh, Justin has a question for you.
Okay. Let me make sure my neck's attached on, and I'll just go ahead.
Stroh is making sure that his neck is attached on. Okay, he's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just think Stroh is afraid if he were to take me on in a match, because I'd end
Justin,
Can you end this promo with Survive If I Let You?
Win if you can, Survive If I Let You.
What happened?
Win if you can.
Say, I dare you to say, Survive If I Let You.
We're trying to find out what's happening, Marcel.
I tell you this, Brady. If me and Stro went into a match, first 15 minutes, I'm 15 coming minutes. Out strong. I'm coming
what
out
if,
strong. I'm coming out strong in this 15 minutes. Stro's coming out in a body bag.
Let me help you with this. Stro, I love your tackling, but as someone who legitimately would like to get a manager for a match, let me help you with this. Justin,
yeah.
I will put all of the money I have on Stro, and you can tie his arms behind his back.
Ditto. I'll be sorry.
Justin, I have more money sitting in my bank account than you make in a year. I will put all of it on Stro.
Oh, yeah.
Justin,
oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I do.
Justin, this is the worst call we've had tonight, and the bar wasn't set very high.
No, Brie. Hey, Brie.
What?
Hey, Brie. Well, I want
what?
You to put this. I want you to put this in your into your wrestling thing. That means
okay.
we are gonna.
I'll put it in my wrestling
the producer. Justin's the producer.
I definitely want to take Stro on because I don't think he could live up to me or nor to you. Because I could kick
joy.
His ass. I could kick his ass.
You should have a Home Depot match.
I would kick his ass.
The joy
I
would
take
his ass.
I don't get it, man. I thought we were pals. I thought we were friends.
Yeah, what's the deal? You were like, Justin, a couple weeks ago you were like slurping up to him. You were like, like that. And now you're like,
Hey, Brady. Hey, Brady.
Sorry.
Hey, Brady.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me when I say this.
Yeah.
You're my friend. You're my friend, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Stro will never be my friend. Because you know what? I don't think Stro. Because
you don't really have friends.
No, because I really don't think Stro can live up to the name. I really don't think Stro could keep up with me in the ring if he ever had to.
I'm just happy to live, period, Justin.
Well, good for you.
Man.
I mean, can I tell you
this is fun?
Yeah.
This is fun, but we're going to let you go because you're talking nonsense.
And your calls are dumb.
Hey, Brady.
And bad.
What?
Hey, Brady.
What?
Brady, why? Well, I want to say this.
Yeah, I miss Malcolm, man. I miss Malcolm already.
Hey, Brady, what? Brady, what?
This ends it back.
This tends to date back to about maybe
6 months ago, where Stro would always, where I would always call him the Stray's radio show. He would
I don't
always
really care.
And be like, well, why don't you listen to be actually a good friend? I would actually call him the Stray's show, and he'd be like,
I've listened to Stro's show, and he lets everybody talk as much as they want.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you complain about that.
Right.
You should be mad at me because I'm always cutting you off.
No, he's
still in the people business. Hold on. Stro can't say this. He's still in the people business. I can.
He's not in the hurt business like Ray.
But I can because nobody cares about my opinion. So, like, I can say these things. Justin, let me make this very clear to you. Stro was not acting like your friend because, and again, cannot possibly make this any clearer. He doesn't need you to be his friend.
Yeah.
That's why. There's no benefit to being friends with you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. Justin, it's been real.
Hey,
I love talking to you, brother.
Hey, sure.
Hey, oh my God. How you doing?
That was.
How you doing?
I will say this. I mean, me wanting to fight you and me. Me having all this aggression toward you.
You want Rat Boy on too, you said?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, I say me having all this dislike toward you and all this aggression toward you.
Mm-hmm.
I do consider you my friend, but this is on me. But this is
on
me having fun. You
just
told
us 20 minutes that he wasn't your friend.
But this is on me having fun. No,
I often break my friend's necks.
This is like some psychological torture, man.
No, Brady. Hey, Brady, will you let me have 2 minutes of telling show of what I think of him?
You know,
2 minutes is a long time. How about 30 seconds without interruption?
All right, 30 seconds. All right.
I don't think you could pull off 2 minutes.
All right, sure. Me and you having bad times together and all the other stuff of me saying that I want to fight you and all that stuff. I consider you a friend, and you know for sure I would never want to hurt you at all. You're a good friend of mine, and
wow, 27 releases. That's great.
It's just basically me giving you a work. That's all I'm doing. I'm not gonna hurt you in real life. That's like just me. That's all. All right, thanks.
Oh, he did it.
Thank you.
And for the record, thank you, Justin. Thank you for the call. He actually seceded the last, not seceded, what? He yielded the last 2 seconds of his 30 that he was given. So he didn't use the full allotted time. What's
holy
that?
Smokes. No, I was just saying that when Ray said Stro would tie both his hands behind his back and get in the ring with him, the visual of Ray running at Stro, I mean, of Justin running at Stro with both his hands tied behind his back and Stro just headbutting him in the middle of the
ring. I know, that's the first thing I thought.
the first thing that came to mind.
That's the first thing I thought of right away.
The thing is, like, I don't want to. We need to know if he, like, what mental illness he has. Because, like, I don't want to.
Want me to ask
someone?
Him?
No, don't put him back on. Here's the thing.
What's wrong with
here's
you?
The thing. Hold on. Let me finish yours then before you put it back on. What's wrong with you?
Wow.
My thing is, okay, I don't want to make fun of someone that has genuine demons, but, like, also, I've never heard someone actually go through an entire bipolar cycle in one call.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin, what's the diagnosis? Like, what is wrong with you, like, mentally?
I'm awesome.
I'm just kidding. You there? What? Justin?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's the diagnosis? Like, are you bipolar?
Here, I'll tell you this.
Oh, God damn it.
No, I'm being dead serious with you guys.
He's shooting.
No, I'm being dead serious with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't want you guys to laugh at me or think that I'm
not laughing.
An asshole or anything.
No, we would never
let him
do this show.
Let him talk. I'm not laughing. Go ahead.
Since Christmas time until March. You know, I've been dealing with my family, and most importantly, it was my grandfather. He's been taking the worst since December until March, and I've always.
What do you mean he's
I've
taking
always,
the worst?
He's been taking the worst, when he would call me, he would say, "Hey, I gotta get surgery on my heart, and I gotta get surgery on my foot." So he would get surgery on his foot, and then a couple weeks later, he would get surgery on his foot, which wasn't really good.
Mm-hmm.
And
I got
my
you.
Grandfather. No, I mean my grandfather. He had surgery. I get calls from the hospital saying, "Hey, your grandfather's not going to make it, and he's not going to do this.
Surgery?
He's not going to do that." Basically,
did your grandfather? Did he make it?
Basically, I get calls from the hospital that he's not going to make it and all that. And
is he okay though?
And now that he's back in the hospital, it's just kind of
okay.
Hard to say.
Okay.
And,
all right.
It's kind of hard as a.
I understand. We'll be praying
yeah,
for your grandfather. We will.
But I didn't ask
what was wrong with them. Like, what's going on with you? Like, why would you take that out on Stroh?
I mean, with me.
Maybe Stroh made his grandfather ill.
I mean, you know what?
They would have
been for life. I've been through stress for the last 3-4 months or so, and it's just like I just don't want to be around anybody, even including my friends or something like that. But I could actually care less. But
you could care less, or you couldn't care less.
I could care less.
But if you could care less,
that
means that you could care less than that. But so it means you care a lot.
I do care less.
Isn't that what a carrier is, to care a lot?
Everybody else on the radio show, but it's just like with me going on right now.
All right.
I just have to calm down. But other than you, all you do is tend to make fun of people, and that's all you're going to do is be a joker.
I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just trying to get people to have like a normal call. You know, I just want to talk about wrestling.
And that's why I tend to call into.
Okay. All right, I got you. Well, brother, listen, I'll be praying for you. I hope everything works out okay. And
yeah, hopefully.
And
yeah, hopefully. And you know, if you decide to just call a radio show to be a completely abusive sociopath, you know, pick a different one than ours sometime.
Yeah, I'm not even talking to you, bro. You say bro?
Okay.
No, he called me Brett. I have a new name now. My name's Brett now.
And I wasn't really
in the room
with Brett. I was talking to Derek.
In the room with...
Bogus
in
Brett.
The room, yeah, in the room with... No, I'm like Cher. It's just Brett. It's going to be in the room with Brady, Stroh, Derek, and Brett.
Ooh, I really don't even know.
Listen, we'll be praying for you, brother.
We have to
make fun because, like, we want to keep the conversation going, and it's the only way to get everybody off.
Well, within the last 2 weeks, I've noticed since I was pulling a fur over Stroh's eyes, I was only just having fur.
Not the wool, but the fur.
I was just pulling the fur over people's eyes, and you guys tend to take
the fur. Okay.
I was just trying to have
How do you pull
fun.
Fur over somebody's eyes?
Ooh,
like a hat?
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
You pull a fur coat over Stroh's eyes. And you want to see it coming. But I was only having fun. But
I think you saw it coming, though.
On your show. Didn't like
the other week. Was it a
you guys
is there a drum match going on in the background? Like, what's the...
But then you guys tend to cry.
This is going on way too long, brother. Take care of yourself.
Dang,
be safe.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's hard to believe I started out the show with the best of intentions here tonight. Derek, I wrote out a list of topics. Actually, you could probably do some of these quick hits with you and, you know, just kind of get other people's thoughts on them. One of them, Matt Grimm brought to the table tonight. So New Day comes out. They lose the title at WrestleMania. They get absolutely just destroyed.
Yeah.
And they come out last night, and they're like, meh, 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 and they're all excited. You know, they're happy to.
Yeah.
Was that okay with you?
Yeah, isn't it the power of positivity? That doesn't mean you sulk the next day, right?
That's what Ray said. I think they should have been pissed. I would have given them a mulligan if they didn't come out dancing and twerking.
They're living a good life, man. They sell a lot of merch. And why do you think they keep winning titles, Brady? Because the power of positivity pushes them forward. Can't look on the bad. You got to look at your good.
Right.
They woke up that morning.
That and because Kofi can navigate backstage without touching the floor, which is an amazing
Spider-Man. Yes, he's Spider-Man Miles Morales. Yes.
CM Punk did an interview this week where he talked about, I'm sure you saw this. He talked about potential opponents in AEW and in WWE. AEW, he had a bunch of them. And it makes sense because there's a lot of really good workers there. But in WWE, the only money match that he could think of for WWE was against Triple H, the guy that he left the company because that's all they had for him.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't want to be one of those guys that goes, you know what, Punk, either wrestle or shut up. But I'm getting to that level. He talks about wrestling every other month, and then he'll say something like, oh, the wrestling business doesn't need me. Look, Punk, if you're going to come back, come back. I think I've said this before. I think you said the same thing, Brady. If he comes back, it makes the most sense financially for him to go to WWE, because that's what he's going to be doing it for, to make money, not because he misses wrestling, not because
right.
he loves it, to make money. So just go to Vince.
But what a backhanded slap. Like,
I know, yeah.
Triple H is the guy that hasn't wrestled in, what, a year or 2 years or whatever. He's the only guy there that you look at that programming, and believe me, he watches the programming because
yep.
he comments on everything. He's the only guy you can make money with. You don't see yourself making money with anybody else. And you shared a locker room with half the roster that's still there.
You mean to tell me he doesn't think he can make money with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman in that storyline? Is he crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, Derek, this is a man who wasn't tough enough for punches that he knew was coming and could prepare for and thought he was going to go be a UFC fighter.
Oh, Punk. Remember how big he was like 5 years? It's like all the bloom is off the rose with him now. And if you're AEW,
yeah.
Why would you – remember when they first started the company and he revealed to everybody that they offered him a contract through text messaging? Why would you want to do business with a guy like that if he was willing to give that information out about you?
Yeah, seriously. And he's talking about, like, in AEW, how, like, they weren't professional. They tried to text him instead of, like,
yeah.
reaching through the proper – like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
I personally think – like, I personally think that the moment that he I almost said that he got deflowered. That isn't how I meant it. Like, the bloom is off the rose,
right?
Like you said, he gets deflowered. The moment that he goes on that backstage show. Because now he's just like all of us, just talking about his opinion of what he's watching on WWE TV. And and they didn't even want him all the time for that.
Nope.
The second he showed his hand and did that, there's your incentive right there. There's no reason to bring him back.
Yeah, and then he goes on there and he goes, well, I never said I didn't want to wrestle again. If somebody calls me, I'll listen. Like, okay, well, you left. You left the company. You said you hated everybody. You didn't want to be there anymore. You hated wrestling, and now all of a sudden you're one phone call away.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Austin and Jericho? I mean, I stayed up on Sunday night to watch most of it. I caught the rest on Monday morning. I thought it was really cool that they did it. I thought it was very nice of the two companies to agree to kind of like allow that to happen for the fans. But it was pretty much exactly what I thought. They pretty much glossed over AEW and talked everything that he did in WWE in depth.
They yeah, and he he mentioned AEW for what, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then he played the greatest hits the rest of the way. And if
if you're
Tony Khan, you look at that and you say to yourself, what the hell? Wasn't even worth it in the end. I don't think they're going to get any more fans from that interview.
They could literally just show the first 3 minutes and like and a little bit at the end. I mean, I do think, like, creatively he made it sound like AEW is, like, a really great place, and he put over a lot of the wrestlers and stuff like that. But if I'm Tony Khan, how much do I like hearing Jericho say that he feels like Vince McMahon when he's in AEW?
I know.
Yeah. That,
and then he goes, oh, my last WrestleMania, I was the second match guy. So now you're telling these fans, I was the second match guy here, but on that other show, I'm the man.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Exactly.
Like I said, he'll be back next year. It's just a matter of time, though.
I don't know if it'll be next year, but I think he's definitely going to come back. He'll come back for the Hall of Fame, and he'll probably still do a part-time schedule, I would think.
Yeah.
There's still matches out there, you know? I don't think this is it.
He's burning through those AEW wrestlers pretty fast, like a guy who knows he's on limited time.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction, Ray. I'm gonna say that the much anticipated Chris Jericho Sammy Guevara match is gonna happen in WWE before it happens in AEW. Just the way they're going through everything.
Ooh. Can you imagine if they did that? Oh, if I was Tony Khan, I'd be pissed.
He will. They will, because Guevara will
so
go there. The only way he doesn't sign with them at some point is if he puts his foot in his mouth again.
Meltzer was talking about, he said a lot of the contracts are coming up next year for some of these guys. And he was like, you know, there's going to be guys who jump from AEW to WWE just because they're not being used.
Yep.
And
we haven't gotten that yet, but it's coming.
It's coming, yeah. It's going to come. I can imagine there's a lot of people in that locker room. Like, I know he plays happy on TV, but if you're Rusev, are you really, unless you're just happy showing up to work and getting a paycheck, are you really that happy being the video game guy with blonde hair?
I was thinking about this the other night. Like, I'm just like, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, like, Sean Spears, as much as he's run his mouth, you mean to tell me he would turn down the opportunity to make more money to go work with his wife again?
I know. It's a lot of people look at that roster and go, eh.
If he gets offered an NXT deal, I think he leaves tomorrow if he's allowed.
I think once Matt has got all this creative stuff out of his system and Vince goes, hey, come back, I'll pay you this much, you can work part-time and you can be an agent, I think Matt comes back.
And they're going to be Hall of Famers. I think the first, second Matt's available, the Hardy Boys are going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the one I think would benefit the most from going to WWE is MJF. He's a Vince guy. I think when he gets he fits what Vince would love.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll, and then there will be a bunch of guys that you just never hear from again, aside from in AEW stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like does Joey Janela still work there?
We don't know.
He teams with Sonny Kiss, I think.
That's right, with Sonny Kiss. Remember when he was like a big deal and he was one of those big shows, Mania Weekend? He was like a big indie guy. Now he's just a guy on the roster.
Spring Break. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Now Brian Pillman Jr. and the other guy, I forget their names, the Hollywood whatever. Best Hollywood Blonde. No, whatever the tag team. They're bigger than Joey Janela at this point.
Did you see Brian Pillman Jr. said he's been trying to get Austin to come in to manage him?
Really?
Austin probably reads the text.
Great idea. Great idea.
Class. Oh, kid.
So, WWE, obviously. What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, so WWE, obviously, they had a little show this weekend, WrestleMania. It was a two-night thing. They spread it out. But across two nights and 14, 15 matches, whatever it was, with such a large roster, and they managed to get a lot of the roster on the show. You know, they found the space for Carmella, thank God. You know, they
they were able to get, I mean, there's all these names of, like, people that you think, like, why are they, and it just, it bugged the hell out of me, Derek, that you couldn't get Charlotte on that show. And it bugged the hell out of me that you couldn't get the Street Profits on that show. And I'll even do you a step further. I think Rey Mysterio, absolutely, for what he's done in this industry, for the fact that he's teaming with his son now, I would have had Rey and what he means, like, in terms of, like, the Latino market and all that. I would have had Rey and Dominic on this show.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Nia and Shayna, but if the match you had in mind for them was Tamina and Natty, they didn't need to be on that card. They should have wrestled on SmackDown. Not for, like you said, with Rey and Dominic and the Street Profits and all these people. You always hear how much of a sweetheart Rey Mysterio is, so he'll never say anything, but he has to be pissed.
Well, I would think so. And if you're looking at it, there are four names that really fueled everything in WWE this year. Yeah, between Rey and Dominic, because they had that huge storyline. The Street Profits carried the tag divisions on both sides, both divisions, you know, both rosters, both brands. That's the word I'm looking for. And Charlotte. I understand you can't always, like, get everybody on every show. I get that. But you're willing to make a triple threat match just for the hell of it. You couldn't have gotten Charlotte on there somewhere? I would have been all right if Charlotte did the RVD thing and comes out and said, I don't have a match tonight. I'm really pissed about that. And then, like, Peyton Royce comes out and challenges her. It's something. You got to get her on that show. It's ridiculous that you didn't.
Especially since you're in front of fans and you could tell how much you meant to everybody. Because it seemed like everybody who came out was about to cry when they came out. And and like you said with Rey Mysterio, he's a bona fide legend that can still go.
Right.
And the way they treat him sometimes, I think it's because he's so nice. They treat him that way.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I think that they realize that he's at a point now where he's not going like he used to go.
Yeah.
Like, really, his son is carrying most of it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have still found the spot. And I mentioned earlier, like, Peyton Royce is another one. Like, you split them up, one of the most popular tag teams that you had, in order to let Peyton Royce get a singles push. You abandoned that after 3 weeks and threw her in a makeshift tag team with Lacey Evans. And then Lacey gets pregnant, so now you have nothing for this girl that you were going to have the big singles push for? You got nothing?
And it's like,
I would have rather had back with Billy. Derek, I would have had, I'm sorry. When Billy got eliminated, did I tell you this earlier? I forget who I talked to and who I didn't during the course of the show. When Billy got eliminated, I would have had her leave, and then the next ones out should have been the Iconics. That pop would have been amazing if that's what they would have done.
It's like Vince. It's like, I don't know if it's old age. Like, he breaks up the Hurt business, right? And it seems like everybody and their mother is against it. Everybody's against it. You got Batista is tweeting about it. And then if what I saw last night is true, you take two guys from Retribution and you're gonna put them in the Hurt business. Why? Because they're big. Why would you do that?
Stupid.
I don't understand this guy.
Stupid.
I don't.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wasn't on board with that. You know what else I wasn't on board with? And this is kind of like a quick hit kind of thing, but it's kind of like what they did in a way. That Hall of Fame was a disgrace.
It was pretty bad. It was bad.
What was the need to limit everybody to 3 minutes except for Kane?
Yeah, it was terrible, and bad.
What was the reasoning? Like, there's no limit. It's on Peacock, right? It wasn't on USA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's no time.
They could have had a 5-hour show, especially considering it was all pre-taped in segments anyway.
And I felt bad for, like, I felt bad for Bulldog's family because they've been waiting for this for years. He's not around anymore.
Yeah.
And you give him 3 minutes. After waiting all those years,
Batista,
you give him 3 minutes.
Left?
Yeah. I could see why David. I could see why Batista would have been part of it.
3 minutes, yeah. Eric Bischoff comes out. You know, he's like, I only got 3 minutes or whatever. And then, like, you can barely thank people that are important to you. You don't get any time to tell any sort of meaningful story. I'm really surprised that I sat through the entire thing because none of them said anything.
Yeah, nothing worth note. And
I felt
and
ripped
sometimes
off.
The stories are the best parts of the induction sometimes, listening to old stories.
Yeah. And I understand not everybody can go 5 hours like Ric Flair. You know, not everyone can do that. But still, I mean, there's got to be something between 3 minutes and 5 hours.
I thought that, too, that, like, you know, yeah, do you need everybody to go sit and learn? No, I'm sure JBL had a good story or two.
Yeah, he always does, yeah.
I'm sure Justin Liger had a good story or two.
Yeah.
No, that guy.
I'm sure that Bulldog's family would have liked to share a couple of stories.
Diana Smith, I can't believe, like, if you would have told me a year ago that Diana Smith would be on that stage for the Bulldogs induction, and she was more revealing in our interview on In the Room than she was during that.
Yeah.
She didn't even get to say anything.
And like you said, it's heartbreaking because anybody who has anything to do with the Hearts or Calgary, they all have crazy stories because apparently that's all that happened on those crazy shit. So I would have loved to hear anything, especially from Bulldog. And like you said, nothing against Kane. I love Kane, but he got the most time. And it's just
if I'm anybody that could be going in the Hall of Fame in the future, I'm asking how long I get before I agree to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As Stroh's coming back, I gotta ask him. Stroh, we're talking about the Hall of Fame. How ridiculous is it that, like, Eric Bischoff or, like, Davey Boy Smith's family, they get 3 minutes to sum up a career?
Oh, God.
There's no limit.
Crazy.
Like, it wasn't like we're on USA Network where, like, they leave at 11 and, like, we got to get everybody in. No, they
right.
had as long as they wanted. It was friggin' Peacock.
I didn't understand it either.
The Bischoff one really pissed me off. The Bulldog really – Molly Holly was another one. Like, she got out there. She's like, oh, so many fun times. All right, good night, everybody. Like, that's
– Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable.
You get more from, like, waiting in line at a convention to get an autograph.
And, like, RVD, he's the first of the ECW guys to go in, right? He's the first one, right?
I think so, yeah.
So just imagine the stories he could tell. And
oh, my God.
It's nuts.
I could do 5 minutes of RVD stories. I can't imagine the stuff that he's got. That was a shame. And then, of course, Kane. Kane gets time. Yeah.
He's their guy.
Yeah. I don't think anybody delved into anything during that. I was very disappointed. Yeah.
Not nothing that you want to hear.
Even the Bellas. Imagine clamoring for Nikki Bella to say more.
I don't want to imagine that world. That's a world where this show ends.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So anyway, that's where I am. I don't know if you guys had anything else that you wanted to kind of throw out there, but I felt like tonight was good. It was very therapeutic. It was fun, and what a fitting tribute for WrestleMania. You know, some good opinions, favorable opinions, and some not so favorable opinions. But you know, like any good ice cream, Ray. Many different flavors, so.
Like Neapolitan.
Right. Yeah. So anyway.
I have nothing to plug.
You have nothing.
Derek,
okay.
You got something to plug?
I'm fading. What do you got, Derek?
Nothing. Just, Vince, if you're listening, please don't put T-Bar and Mason to her business. Please. Please don't do that. Why do they have their mask on? Did the group break up? Oh my god! I have nothing. Just that.
No. Yeah. And they feuded with the Hurt Business too, so they should hate them.
Yeah. Oh, and Vince, if you're of course, bring back the prime, bring back the prime time players. I saw. What's his name? Yes. Was on NWA. He was what's his name? Brady.
Fred Ross. Fred.
He had a good match with Elijah Burke on NWA. So, sign
I'll
that
have
man,
to check
please.
That out. I don't subscribe, but I'll have to. That's cool.
Oh, you can get
that's
good,
cool.
Nefarious memes, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, shut my old nefarious memes got shut down, but I'm sure I could find another one easy enough. So, anyway, I had something else, but I don't remember what it was. Stro, what do you got, man?
Just a reminder that Thursday night, WCW Retro will be talking about the career title package Lex Luger at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please call in your favorite Lex Luger story or moment. Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time, the Stro Zone. On my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Friday night featured midnight Eastern Standard Time will be Moon of the Wolf, the 1970s. So please tune in.
Very cool. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in the room this week, right here live on the VOC Nation, the VOC Wrestling Radio Network. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to all the callers, to the best cast and crew I could ever ask for, including Stro, Kathy, Derek, Ray, Matt. All of you guys are just top-notch, and you make it so much fun each and every week. Even on the weeks when it drags, you know, it's always a blast. So thank you to you guys, and thank you for all your support, guys. Don't forget to search VOC Nation on YouTube and add us on Patreon. Just go to premium.vocnation.com. Plans start as low as $3 a month, and you get access to advertisement-free audio, video content, all that great stuff. The Bill After interviews and all his archives from over the years is part of the tiers as well. So be sure to check that out. Just go to premium.vocnation.com. ECWA returns May 1st with the Super 8 tournament. I'll be there, and more information on that in the coming weeks as well. But that's going to do it for tonight. Everybody, take care. Have a great night. Be good to each other, and I love you all very much. Take care.